Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk Distribution, always made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Our upcoming wealth webinar is called Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. Steve and Justin will share their insights to help you organize a defensive plan to protect your investments and give you clues on how to find opportunities, too. This webinar is April 14th, this Thursday, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Time. It's free, but attendance is limited, so sign up soon. Just go to investtalk.com. That's InvestTalk with two T's, and click on the InvestTalk tab. Now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. This is our Monday, April 11th, 2016 edition of InvestTalk, and our goal each and every weekday is to help you achieve above average investing results, especially for the average investor. Most the average investor makes poor decisions, and our goal is to help you make good decisions with your money. Now, Seth Klarman, the billionaire author of the book called Margin of Safety, Risk-Averse Value Investing Strategies for the Thoughtful Investor, was interviewed by Charlie Rose recently, and he had some words of wisdom that kind of tie in with what Steve and I talk about on a regular basis and what Steve talked about last week, why we think we're better investors than we really are. Now, Klarman said, when you're buying anything, it's an arrogant act. You're saying, the markets are gyrating, somebody wants to sell this to me, and I know more than the other person, whoever's selling it to me. Right? If you're buying it, someone has to be selling it, and you're basically saying, I'm smarter than that person. It's a little arrogant. So you need some humility to say, but I might be wrong. And you have to do that on everything, every occasion. You have to understand that you might be wrong. Now, he goes on to say, value investors have to be patient and disciplined, but what I really think is you need not to be greedy. And if you're greedy and you leverage, you can blow yourself up. Now, almost every financial blow up is because of leverage. This is why we are very careful with leverage with our clients. And you need to balance the arrogance and humility together. And it can be difficult. So the question for you is, do you make buy and sell decisions based on a plan, a thought out strategy? Or are you just looking for bargains when and where you see them? Because you think they're bargains, even though they may not be bargains. So how do you develop an investing plan or strategy? Are you factoring in your age? Selecting an age-appropriate investment option is important. You know, if you're young, you probably don't want to be investing in a fixed annuity. Really not a valid reason for that. Unless you're super risk averse, which some people might be. Based on your situation as well. A lot of people get talked into insurance, meaning life insurance, when they don't really need it. I see a lot of people in their 20s, maybe 30s, where they're not married, they don't have kids, and they're buying life insurance. It's like, why? What's the point? Right? And that goes with any type of investment, financial product, anything. You need to make sure it's appropriate for you. So do you have a clear and honest understanding of your current financial situation? And are you aware of how much disposable income you have available to invest? And are you budgeting correctly? There are a lot of people who they just aren't, they know things kind of in very nebulous terms. I think I have around this much per month that I'm saving. I think I might retire around this age. I think my goal is around this. No, you got to put down concrete goals, objectives, and steps and budget it correctly. Do you have a risk profile? Have you put that together? If you're young, you might want to take a lot of risk. But like I said, some people might be young and risk averse. Now, you can take our risk analysis tool. It's free on investtalk.com. It'll help you assess where you're at. Give you a score of 1 to 99. And the higher you are, the more risk tolerant you may be. The lower, obviously, the more risk averse you are. So do you have goals set? Are you looking for the long haul, retirement? Are you looking to be more aggressive trading in and out? And that's why I talk a lot of times is when people call in about a particular stock, I say, well, what's your time horizon? Are you looking this for the next week, month, year, decade? What is it? And depending on that, your time horizon for that investment, the answer can be very different. I could be very bullish on a stock very short term because of what the chart says, or maybe there's some catalyst coming out about that particular sector or that particular stock, and it can be great for the next couple weeks or month. But is it great long term? Maybe yes, maybe no. Long term has more to do with the strong fundamentals of cash flows, valuation, dividend, the strength of their business, the dynamics in the industry, etc. And that goes with any investment. Every investment should be viewed in various time frames. If you buy a house, are you expecting to profit on that in 2 weeks? No. The cost to get in and out are too high. Okay, so understanding where investments lie in your risk tolerance and your time horizon are very important. Now, these are questions we can talk about today. We're here to help you answer some of the more important money questions in your life. 888-99 chart is our anytime number for any money related questions. So let's take on a question right now.
Hey, Steve and Justin, how you doing? My name's Jake. I'm a podcast listener calling from LA. Just had a couple quick questions about Roth IRAs. I have a Roth IRA right now with my online brokerage, and I maxed it out last year, and I'm about to max it out again for 2016. Just had a couple quick questions about that. I'm pretty sure that I can go over the $5,500 in terms of just my online brokerage allowing me to deposit more. So I'm wondering what's kind of the fallout of that? Does the IRS become involved, or is there some sort of penalty I would have to pay if I crossed over $5,500 annually for the contributions to the Roth? And then second part of the question is, what would you recommend as the next best thing other than a Roth IRA? I'm 28 years old. I do like to actively manage, so I'm looking for something that allows me to do that. Also, obviously, with tax benefits. My employer does offer a managed 401k, but there's no match. So being that I like to kind of self-manage and actively manage, I didn't really think that would be the best option for me. But I was wondering if you guys thought traditional IRA, 401k, what you think might be the next best vehicle to use once I've exhausted all my contributions to my Roth IRA. But thanks a lot, you guys, for the show. I'm a big fan, and I'll listen to you on the podcast.
All right. That's it's a long question, but it's a good question. You know, what he's asking is if you are putting money into an IRA, $5,500 is the limit for the year, whether it's a Roth or traditional. What if he has more money to save beyond that? Can he put it in the IRA? Yes, you can. I don't think there are penalties, but you will have to keep track of it when you do take the money out. It's not, you can't take it out tax-free, obviously, because honestly, I just wouldn't do it. It's too complicated. If you want to put more money into something else, you're not going to get tax consequences within the Roth IRA anyway, so I would just open up a separate brokerage account. But what I would do is if, I know your employer doesn't have a match, but it's a managed 401k, so it sounds like you can, I don't know if it's you're managing it or someone else is managing it, I wasn't sure based on your question, but I would put your money in there if you can manage it and be a little more active with that. So I would go with that first of all, because the limits are a lot and you could put a lot of money there. Beyond that, I would just put it into a traditional brokerage account. You can manage the tax consequences over time with capital gains and dividends and things like that, and timing all that. But you know, there's no real tax deferred nature like you will with an IRA or a 401k. So if they offer a self-directed brokerage account at your 401k, go with that first. Maybe hopefully get up to the limit. and you can manage that that way. See if you can do an well, you're not 59 and a half, but if you're 59 and a half, you can do an in-service rollover when you get there, and then you can roll that into an IRA even if you're still working there. So there are a lot of little intricacies to this, but I would first look at your 401k and then go into a traditional brokerage account. Now, we're glad you're with us today for InvestTalk. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. Now, one of our services we provide our listeners free of charge is a retirement review. And Steve will be in San Diego County at our Carlsbad office on April 12th. That is tomorrow. If you live in that area, he'd love to meet with you. I know that. Next, he'll be doing individual reviews via Skype and telephone on the 19th, so we can hook up with listeners no matter where you live. We also serve clients all over the country, so don't think you're out of reach from us. Then on the 20th, he'll be in San Ramon, California, for another set of day meetings with potential clients and current clients alike. Now, these dates are listed on InvestTalk.com. So to schedule a meeting, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. Chart 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, how does your home stack up as an investment? And really, we're going to look at homes broadly because everyone's home is a little bit different. Their neighborhood's a little bit different than the next. And the dynamics of their market are different. So really, we're looking at homes as an investment broadly. And I think it's kind of eye-opening to look at the statistics, to understand home prices, home price appreciation long-term. And it's kind of counter to what I think most people assume about their home, real estate investing, etc. Then I want to get into five reasons why oil is now trading above $40 a barrel again. We're back above $40 a barrel. And why is that, I think, is the question. I think we've been saying this for a little while. We thought oil and commodity prices would bottom in the first quarter, and they have. And the question is how what kind of legs do they have? What kind of legs do oil prices have, gold prices, other commodity prices, etc.? So we're going to get into that. Then also, is the risk of a recession higher than you think? I'm going to get into why that is, why a recession is much more likely than I think the average analyst is saying and the average person is believing based on the headline numbers. So those are our main talking points that we're going to get to for the day. But ultimately, I want to hear from you. I want to know what's on your mind. 888-99-CHART is how you reach me and Steve each and every weekday. Now, let's take a quick review of the market today. You had the it started the day off well. The market was up. It sold off for most of the morning. Then it rallied midday and really sold off again in the latter part of the day. So it was really a weak day overall for the markets. You had retail stocks not do so well. The likes of Under Armour and Nike didn't do so hot. What else didn't do well? Industrials held up actually pretty decent. You had transports were down a little bit. But really as consumers, likes of Google were down decent. Facebook was also down after a really bad Friday. So it looks like kind of the consumer-related stocks are starting to finally roll over with the rest of the market. So not a good day. You had the Dow close down 20, S&P down 5, NASDAQ down 17, and I think we're starting that next leg down in the market. I'm financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein. This is InvestTalk. We want to hear what is on your mind. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
Yeah, hi, Steve and Justin. My name's David. I'm a podcast listener from Portland. I would love your take on Under Armour, symbol UA. This is a stock I've been kind of looking at for a while. I love their products. Their clothing is just top quality, different, totally unique, great leader. I think now would be a good time to buy. I was wondering if what you guys think about that. Under Armour is now a good time to buy, or would you wait for it to pull back more? Thank you.
All right, he's looking at Under Armour. Most people know this company now. Maybe 10 years ago, I don't even think it existed 10 years ago, but they've done a great job in growing their market share. I guess they did. They went public in 2005. So in 2005, they were still kind of a small company trying to compete with Nike, and they've done something that's very hard to do, which is take market share from Nike, compete with Nike, go head-to-head with them. They have a lot of big athletes now, Jordan Spieth and Steph Curry. And the stock was down today a couple bucks because of Jordan Spieth's little faux pas. I think it was hole 11 or 12 on the back nine during the Masters yesterday. And he had a quadruple bogey, which really cost him the tournament. I guess the market says it reflects badly on Under Armour. So, you know, it was down pretty big, but it also was had a big reversal day on Friday as well. So to me, I like what you're thinking. You know, it's a good company. They make good products. Fine. Like that. However, the valuation is just not there. It's way, 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 way overvalued. Their revenue growth is strong in the mid to high 30s, or sorry, mid to high 20s. Revenue earnings growth is somewhere in the 20% range, and earnings continue to really march up, and they're doing well. But the problem is it's just way too expensive. The 81 PE ratio, just really, really too expensive. They have negative free cash flow. Their operating cash flow, earnings yield is only 2.25%. That is very, very low. And I know they're growing their revenues, and that's fine. That's good. But it's not growing fast enough for me. So I need to see this stock do, I would say, it's already dropping. It's now in a downtrend, I would say. It's below all its major moving averages. It's below a 200-day moving average, which is the one major moving average. It tested that on Friday, could not get past it, and really has failed. So I would want to see this down in the low 20s. It's now in the low 40s. Okay. Now, there is some good support in the low 30 area, 32, 33, but I really would like to pick this up in the low 20s, and that's when I would feel a lot more comfortable owning Under Armour. So is it a good company? Yes. Is it a good time to buy? No. Keep on your watch list and keep waiting. Be patient. Value investing is about being patient. I know it can be hard, but it's what it's about. Now let's talk a little bit about how your home might stack up as an investment. A lot of people believe real estate is the path to riches. And if it's done right, it can be. And a lot of times it is. However, the problem is that many times it is not. And generally, over the long term, real estate prices go up with inflation. And why is that? And it's a simple answer. People don't realize this, but it's a very simple answer. And it has to do with incomes. How do people pay for mortgages and rents? Ask yourself that question. How do they pay for it? With income. They need to make some sort of an income to pay for their mortgage or their rent. So generally, over the long term, if incomes go up, prices for real estate will go up. Now you have short-term fluctuations like interest rates. Interest rates go down, the cost to carry a mortgage is lower, and therefore prices can appreciate. And that's what we've seen over the past 30, 35 years is continuing march down in interest rates over the long term. And that's been a giant tailwind to real estate prices. And what I will argue, and I have argued many times, is that over the next 30 years, we are going to have an interest rate cycle that was higher, and it's going to be a headwind to real estate prices. So don't think that the next 30 years is going to be anything like the last 30 years in real estate. It's going to be very different. Okay, so that's a number one. But how does investing in real estate compare to stocks and bonds? Now, from an investment standpoint, the home, consider a home in most communities to be a place to invest that will shield against modest future inflation. That's it. But it's not going to produce the type of returns that you see from stocks or, frankly, even bonds. And it's a myth that homes are always a safe investment. Everyone needs a home. So the cost of home ownership is like paying rent. So that's what, when we look at investments for real estate investments for our clients, we do a rental parity examination. What's the cost to rent in that market versus own? And the best places are where the cost to buy are lower than the cost to rent. Okay. So I'm going to get a little bit more into this coming up in the show, but it's important for people to understand and have a proper perspective when it comes to real estate investing and prices long term. Now you're listening to Invest Talk. A reminder about our webinar that is this Thursday, April 14th from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. It's about survival and opportunity in a volatile market, and you can sign up for free on investtalk.com.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. A reminder that Steve will be on Skype and telephone all day April 19th for individual retirement reviews. It's a handy way to take advantage of a second opinion being offered by a registered investment advisor. To get on the schedule, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. On the next Invest Talk, when it comes to building a diversified portfolio for retirement or any other goal, the issue isn't so much the number of funds. How do you choose funds for a truly diversified portfolio? That's our main talking point on tomorrow's Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART is how to get through today with your question right now.
All right, now our first priority is answering your questions, and we want to answer your question live on air. We have about 25 minutes left in the show to get your call in, so if you're going to call, please do it sooner rather than later. I always get that rush towards the end, and sometimes you don't get to everybody, so call sooner rather than later. So let's pick up a call that came in before today's program, though, on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Matt here from Minneapolis. Long-time listener, love the show. Quick question for you. I'm considering selling my Netflix NFLX stock here after listening to what you're saying on, you know, those growth stocks aren't going real good, and Netflix hasn't done a lot here in the past year, really. It's only gone up like $3 or $4 as of today. Anyhow, I'm wondering, what do you think of ISRG, Intuitive Surgical, or 3M? I'm looking at those two stocks maybe to get into, or also a diversified dividend-paying stock or mutual fund, that is, on value stocks. What do you think of those ideas? Thank you.
First, I would say, yes, sell your Netflix. Do it yesterday. It is overvalued, and I think chart-wise, it looks pretty poor, and I think it will continue lower as growth stocks get hurt, and they're raising prices, which could cause some issues. The market's probably headed for a recession and a bear market. So those type of names like Netflix are probably going to get hit most because they're overvalued and they're growth names. So yes, sell that. Intuitive Surgical, good company, but also overvalued. I would not be putting the money in Intuitive Surgical. They're just a little too expensive, and they're doing a little better than they used to be, but they've turned around a little bit, but still overpriced. Not a fan. If I was going to invest in one at 3M, I don't mind 3M. It's industrial. That worries me a little bit. The chart is up against some resistance levels, so I would be a little worried on that. But longer term, if that depends on your time horizon, that's probably the best value of the three stocks you mentioned, and it pays a nice 2.7% dividend. But you also looked at a dividend-paying, value-oriented, diversified, I don't know if it's an ETF or a mutual fund or whatever it is. That's a good option as well, a nice diversification. But understand this as well. If we have a recession, if we have a bear market, even that type of investment will go down in value. It might do better and will very likely do much better than the overall market and much better than growth stocks, but it will probably still go down in value. Okay, so understand that most stocks generally right now, really outside of the commodity space, are overvalued. There are always some opportunities, but generally overvalued. So you're looking at all three names plus that fund are outside generally of the commodity space. And so the odds of them being overvalued are high, and I think all of them are, but the cheapest would be 3M, and then understand the risk between of a diversified mutual fund. Let's go to Joe in San Jose. How are you doing, Joe?
Doing very well. Thanks for asking. So question I got is GDX, gold. Gold seems to be making a really good run. Mm-hmm. And the other one I had thinking about was VRX, which is Valeant Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. Well, GDX, I think it's overbought. I think it hasn't – it came up into resistance. It had a big breakout in February, March. And it came into resistance levels, and it consolidated for a little bit and starting to break out again. Now, is this a true breakout? I'm not sure. It doesn't look like it's consolidated enough for me to really say that it's truly broken out. Now, a year from now, 2 years from now, will GDX be higher than it is today? I think so. I have a strong conviction that it will. Now, will this breakout fail and it might turn around and you might have some sharp pain in the near term? Sure, I think that's possible as well. It might decline with the overall market. But if you're looking at a short-term trade, I think it's kind of dangerous after this quick move here. But if you're looking to hold it for a couple of years, I think it's great.
Okay.
And then VRX, do you own it? Looking to buy it? What are you trying to do?
Well, I did own it, and I just sold it today because it seems like it's dropping like a rock lately, and it's getting a little sketchy for me. So I lost about 10%, but I figured that was okay.
Yeah, you know, VRX, I think it's going to go bankrupt. If I were to put money on one thing or another, whether it would stay in business or go bankrupt, I'm putting it in the camp of it will eventually go bankrupt. Now, could it rally in the near term? Could you have some sort of counter trend rally? Sure. Could they survive? Sure. But I think that their problems and their leverage balance sheet are going to be too much for them to handle over the long term. You could have some positive news, like they had some. They're going to restate their earnings, I think, coming up soon. And so things could get a pop. You could get a pop and make 20% in a week or two. But this is not a long-term hold for me. I think they'll eventually go bankrupt. So if you're going to try to play it, it's very high risk. And you saw it. You know, you lost 10% pretty quickly. These things are very hard to judge in the short term.
Yeah, well, if there's, like you're saying, if there is a recession coming up, isn't gold where you want to be is to the stableness of it instead?
Yeah, well, that's why I said I like GDX.
Oh, you do like GDX. Okay.
Yeah. I was talking about Valeant. I was talking about Valeant, VRX.
Yeah. And then one other thing. How about on the oil side of the world, like WTI and stuff? Oil is, you know, above the 40 now. And are they headed toward 50, or what are you thinking?
I do think that oil has bottomed for the medium term, shall I say, for the next maybe year, 2 years, maybe three. But I do think that the dynamics in the oil space have changed dramatically, and I think it will only keep a lid on oil prices. I don't think we're going to see $100 oil anytime soon. I think it's a long time before then. And so I think you'll see a natural somewhat type of cap on oil around the $50 or $60 barrel mark, because that's when all of a sudden the supply constraints that are happening now, meaning, you know, oil wells shutting down, shale oil wells stopping drilling and stopping production, I think that'll turn around, because at $50, $60 a barrel, all of a sudden shale is profitable again. So I would say in the near term, yes, part of it's the weakness in the dollar. I'll get into that in a little bit of why oil prices are bottoming. But I don't think this is a 10-year bottom, like, oh, you're fine, this is the best value you're going to see in a decade for oil prices. But I do think that some oil names, you'll be able to make a nice profit over the next 12, 18, 24 months.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, thank you very much for the program and all your advice. Appreciate it.
No problem, Joe. Thanks for calling. Let's go to William in San Jose. How you doing, William?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking the call, Justin.
No problem. Thanks for making it.
Yeah, so I have a question about Expedia. I'm looking into this stock mainly for a short trading, maybe 3 to 4 months. The reason why I looked into this is because I read an article saying that Expedia usually is very volatile. Mm-hmm. After earnings, usually jumps around 9 to 10% right after earnings. Just looking to take a little bit of risk around this time. I want to make sure that the risk is actually a little bit favorable mm-hmm. towards the positive side. Just want to get your take.
Well, do they announce earnings soon?
I believe it's going to be April 28th, or it's going to be soon.
Okay. So if you're looking to play earnings, you can do it two ways. I mean, you certainly could buy the stock. That's the cheap way. That's the expensive way to do it. You can also buy options. Do you know how to trade options?
I'm not too good at trading options, so I try to stay away from that.
Okay. That's fine. It's going to be very risky, especially in a time where the economy is kind of weak right now, and Expedia is a stock that is tied to the consumer, and the consumer stocks are starting to weaken a little bit, so I think there's a lot of risk to that. However, if you're looking short term, I would say there's some major support about $100 a share, right? It's at $101.96, so a little bit lower than it is here. So what I would do, this is what I would do, $100 a share, pick it up around there. Maybe if it dips below a little bit below 100, pick it up and have your out at 96. If it breaks below $96 a share, I think it's headed much, much lower. But if they have decent earnings, it could pop as well. So that's the strategy that I would take. You have a small out. However, you have to realize that it's earnings. So they come out with earnings and it could be trading at $100 a share. Earnings could be bad and the next day it could open at $80 a share.
Yep.
Right? So playing earnings are always very, very risky. And you said Expedia is more risky than the average, and that's certainly true. So it could certainly open at $120 a share after earnings. It's hard to exactly know. But when it comes to the chart, I'm just talking, those levels are just really short term. If I'm mm-hmm. looking at a longer term chart, like a weekly chart, it doesn't look so hot. It already tested its 100-day moving average. It bounced. It's trying to test it again. It's probably going to be not as good support after this. I would say over the medium term, I think Expedia is heading much, much lower. It's not the type of name in this environment that I'd be taking that type of risk on.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, no problem, William. That was Expedia. The symbol is EXPE. Now let's get to that article on five reasons oil is trading above $40 a barrel again. And it is. And here are the reasons. Number one, the production numbers are declining. And first, the reason is because the oil rig count is declining. Oil rig count fell 8 to 354 active oil rigs in the U.S. as of Friday of last week. That's the report from Baker Hughes, which is one of the largest oil service companies in the world, much less the country. And this is the lowest level, I think, since they've been counting it. So so many oil rigs have just been shelved, been shut down, and they're stopped drilling for oil. Now, the downside is a lot of the oil rigs that are still being used are becoming more efficient. So less oil rigs being in production or being in use, but they're actually per oil rig producing a little bit more than they have in the past. So it's kind of the positive and the negative, but a lot of them have shut down. And that's fed into number two, which is U.S. output and inventories are declining. Now, crude oil inventories fell by an unexpected 4.9 million barrels for the week ending April 1st. Total domestic production fell to just slightly over 9 million barrels a day. That's down 14,000 barrels from a week earlier. Total production was at its lowest level since November 2014. And the production has declined 10 out of the past 11 weeks. And the EIA data released Monday afternoon showed expectations for a decline of another 114,000 barrels a day in domestic shale output in May this month. So output is finally dropping. Number three, stronger demand. Data from out of the U.S. here and in China have shown higher demand for oil. U.S. refineries' use of crude oil inputs climbed by about 200,000 barrels for the week ending April 1st to about 16.4 million barrels. Meanwhile, in China, February crude imports rose nearly 25% from the same time last year. Okay. And then number four, dollar weakness. The dollar has weakened recently. It's now down about 5% so far this year, the dollar index. And then number five, finally, Saudi Arabia and Russia will meet on Sunday to discuss a potential freeze in output. And that's the hope, is that they will slow down their output, and that is causing speculators to think about oil going up and bet that oil is going up, and that's why it's gone up. 8899 chart is our anytime number. Do you have a question about oil? Any money topics are welcome. Just give our listener line a call at 8899 chart. That's 888-992-4278.
Hi, my name's Gary. I'm calling from Massachusetts. I listen to your show on podcast. I'd like to know your valuation for Altria Group. The symbol would be MO. I'd like to know if you think it's overvalued at this point and whether they can afford their dividend going forward. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. He's looking at Philip Morris. Most people know that they sell tobacco products. And this is domestic production or domestic sales. There's MO and then there's PM. That's Philip Morris International. And this is MO is now Altria Group. Used to be Philip Morris, but they yield about 3.6%. It is a decent value. Earnings per share have been getting hit recently. It's not looking fantastic, but it's still operating earnings yield is 15%. Very high, very strong. They do have a good amount of debt. That's a little bit of a worry. Now, I look at their, I was looking at Macy's for a second. Their operating earnings yield is 6.7%. I was wondering why it was so high. 6.7%, that's strong. It's not fantastic, but that's strong. Their cash dividend payout ratio is about 75%. So they can afford their dividend. It is fairly safe. They're a fairly anti-cyclical company, but don't think they can't decline. I would say it's modestly valued. It's not super. I would say it's slightly overvalued. Slightly overvalued. They can afford their dividend. Expect volatility. I don't love it at these prices, but I think it's a good place to hide in a tough market. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART. We have 5 minutes left in the show, so if you're going to call, you need to do it ASAP. Now, is a risk of a recession higher than you think? Now, bear markets almost always require an economic recession, which are usually also preceded by a profit recession. Now, the question on every investor's mind is whether the current earnings recession will cause the whole economy to contract. And let's go back to why earnings recessions usually precede an actual recession. Well, it's because if you're a CEO, it's hard to justify to your board that you're doing a good job if earnings are declining, right? Now, you can make excuses for a short period of time or whatever. But generally, your job is to make earnings go up. Shareholders and board members tend to demand it. So what do you usually, how do CEOs improve profitability if revenue growth isn't very strong? Well, lay off workers, cut costs, reduce output, or reduce inventory, reduce expenses, long-term investment expenses into new plant and equipment. And all that stuff slows down the economy. Now, you might say, well, we're not in a recession. And you might be correct. But you also might be wrong, too. Because you only really know if you're in a recession after the fact. Okay? And if you... If you go by what the economists from the big banks are telling you, they're going to side in the fact that everything's fine. They want you to stay invested. But if you go based on it, the Fed, the Atlanta Fed model, which has been a very accurate model, GDP growth for the first quarter of 2016 was only 0.1%. That's not very far from negative. Okay? So you only know if you're in recession after the fact. And if you look at earnings recession, like I said, which usually precedes a recession, earnings per share are expected to fall 9%, which will mark the third consecutive earnings growth drop. Not drop in earnings, but growth drop. And we saw I think it was after the bell, Alcoa released their earnings. We're in the midst of earnings, a start of earnings season. And the market's rebounded since the February lows, but really the earnings have not. And we're going to have a very good earnings season if we think that the returns in the market over the past month and a half are to be sustained. Now, your questions come first and last. Let's take the last couple of minutes and answer a question. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
John from San Diego, and I love your show. And I wonder what you think of the fund Schwab 1000. Thank you.
Schwab 1000, he's looking at the mutual fund SNXFX. This is a large cap blend equity fund. So you're following some sort of index. It is a fairly low fee for an index fund. It's actually kind of high for an index fund. It's about 30 basis points, a little high. So I don't like that. It's large cap, so it's probably safer and a better investment in the medium term than small caps. But if the market goes down, we go into a recession, we go into a bear market, this will go down. There's no two ways about it. Is it a good fund? I would say it's above average, but I don't love it. I think there's much better options out there. So especially if you want to avoid loss in the medium term. Now our time is up. A reminder, Steve will be doing individual retirement reviews in San Diego County tomorrow, April 12th. Then he will also do Skype and telephone calls on the 19th, which is a week from tomorrow. Then the next day, he'll be in San Ramon on the 20th of April. And to get yourself scheduled for one of those days, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab, and you will be able to do that. I'm Justin Klein, Executive Vice President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today. Let's meet up on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.